16.
Looking at the first verse, let us pray briefly. O Lord our God, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Father God, once again, it's a time again that we stand behind this sacred roster to call upon your Holy Spirit to exhibit this perfect teaching and preaching ministry right now in the name of Jesus. Father God, anoint every mind and seat in the place.
Yes.
Oh, Father God, draw back the drapes of misunderstanding. Make this word plain. Make it a tailor-made word fit for their circumstance and their situation right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, use me in spite of me. I can't do it by myself. But Father God, take me down to the storehouse of wisdom and knowledge. Allow me to sit down so you can stand up. Play your servant in whatever tune you want me to speak in today.
Yes.
Have your way. You be the master musician in this concert today. Have your way. Bind Satan right now. Remove it. He's trying to snatch the word of knowledge. Allow me to preach like I never preached before until heaven gets happy and hell gets upset. Right now, in the name of Jesus, and whatever the cop is in this city, oh God, we'll be careful to give you and only you the praise, honor, and glory. Speak, Lord, for your people hearing. Okay. John chapter 13. Begin at the first verse. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. That could be a sermon by itself. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, betray Jesus. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rising up from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. Help me, Jesus. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Check out Peter. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. I want to draw a subject. I'm going to draw a subject from the fourth verse. He rises from the supper and laid aside his garment and took a towel and girded himself. I want to put a tag on this text. Theology of the towel. You take your seats in the presence of the Lord. Theology of the towel. What an interesting night for our Savior. The night before his crucifixion, with the stench of betrayal in the air, the outer emotions that must have crowded in on him that night. Knowing that as he passed the bread, the one who would dip it would have to leave to betray him, cut his throat, was eating with them. I'm in awe at the marvelous power and love of God manifested in the person of his majestic and mighty Son, Jesus the Christ.
Yeah.
I still am fascinated how Jesus could eat with a man that hates him, will betray him, and wants him to die.
Yeah.
Let me help you realize when you are growing up in God. You are mature in God when you can look somebody in the face who you know don't like you, yet you embrace them with the generosity and the kindness that confounds the minds of your enemies. If you want to mess your enemy up, don't cuss them out. If you want to confound their little immature minds, don't slam a door in their face. This is what God told me to tell you to do. Find the one who hates you the most, who stabs you in the back the most, and just be kind to them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. That's what my granny used to tell me. She called it killing them with kindness. It must have been a strange night for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Not only was the one who would betray him there, watch me now, but his doubter and his denier was there.
All right.
All together in a single night. This is what we call for Jesus the night season.
All right.
Some of us have some night seasons. I'm not that old, but I live long enough, Sister Mumford, to know that some nights come without the benefit of darkness. Oh, y'all ain't feeling me. I preached it myself. Some nights come in the middle of the day, Sister Amy. Some nights come at 9 o'clock in the morning. The night seasons are without warning. You can be saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and you're going to have a night season.
All right. All right. All right.
The only way, Sister Thomas, you will make it through your night season is you got to understand the theology of the time.
Yes. Yes.
If you understand the theology of the time, help me, Lord. See, you can be in church 20, 30 years and still come to in a moment in your life where hell will break loose in the middle of a bad situation. It's called your night season. Jesus shows us that we must deal with the inevitable night seasons of life. Bible scholars call it the darkest night of his soul. That wrenching place in your life where things begin to come press in on you. When you think it's bad, you think it's bad, it's going to get worse. Here he is sitting down at supper. He got Judas, the betrayer.
All right.
Peter, the denier.
All right.
And Doubting Thomas don't want to believe nothing. All in the middle while he's trying to do what he's been sent to do.
All right.
He done went to the Garden of Gethsemane.
Come on now.
What is the Sabbath just to wait on him? That's about to come. But yet, he got all the weight of the world on his shoulder.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Jesus shows us how to make it through a bad situation. First, you got to know how to focus.
Yes. Yes.
You don't understand. Can I keep preaching like God gave it to me?
All right.
Bible scholars or theologians tried to have put in writing what it must have felt like for God to put down royalty and become human. Can I keep it real? Y'all don't get mad. I hope y'all don't get mad. The only way to illustrate it was this. The great theologian, Lennon, he says, just imagine you a human and someone asks you to be a dog for 33 years. Walk like a dog, bark like a dog, growl like a dog, be talked to like a dog, get kicked like a dog, be treated like a dog, but yet you God. church, let me give you some towel theology.
All right.
Help me preach it, Lord.
Yes.
Jesus said to his disciples, he dips the bread, he gives the bread to them to eat, and now he gets up from the supper table. And the Bible tells me in the text that he takes off his robe.
Come on now.
Nobody got excited when I said Jesus took off his robe. Nobody got excited. Nobody broke a heel. Nobody jumped on a bench. When I said Jesus took off his robe. Y'all don't get it. I'm going to go there again. I just explained it before I got into the shop. He got up from glory.
Yes.
Took off his robe.
Yes.
Exposed himself to us. God said, I'm trying to be one with you. I'm getting ready to die for you.
Yeah.
I'm going to take off my robe. So if I don't take off my robe now, if I don't, I cannot redeem you to myself.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
You got to understand the theological thesis in the day. For a host of a home to wash the feet of his guests, which was the custom.
Yeah.
It was not because they was washing the feet because they was trying to get the feet clean. Mm-hmm. Lord, help me take my time. I want to stop. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's not the washing of the feet to get the feet clean. But it was an act. Watch me. Of hospitality.
Mm-hmm.
You said it, D.
Yeah.
I'm glad I found you back to kiss. It was an act of welcoming you in.
Yes.
Jesus said, I can't save you unless I make you feel welcome.
Yes,
let me get on the church. In New Jerusalem, we're well learned Christians. We know we can't save nobody in here.
Yeah.
Our job is only to make folk feel welcome when they come in. Jesus does the saving.
Yeah.
If we open the door, make them say, pull up a seat at the table, make yourself welcome, and Jesus said, I come in, I'm going to do the saving, I'm the savior.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
And I thought about these dirty feet. Can I just go to these dirty feet, y'all? Hell, thought the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. They walked through Jerusalem to get to the place where they're going to have the Passover supper. Their feet was dirty. Let me help you out here. Sanitation was not a prime thing in the cities back in the day. Sewage sometimes ran through the streets. So you walk through sewage when you had to go to somebody's house. So Jesus not only had to just clean dirt and dust, he was cleaning poopy off of everybody's feet with the towel that he had wrapped himself in. What you telling me, God? Jesus, I'm letting you know that stick, I will go to save you.
Yes.
He said, I was thinking about saving you before I even got to the cross. I'm letting my disciples know that I reach way, way, way down in the miry clay. Yeah. I don't care. I'm not too good. I'm a high priest, but I don't sit too high. I don't care. I'm going to wipe you up before I straighten you out. Jesus took the basin, filled it up with water, and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Mm-hmm. Realize he took off his robe. Nothing off. Now he girds himself with the towel. Mm-hmm. Now he's washing his feet in the basin, and now what Jesus does is ungird himself.
All right.
Jesus said, I'm totally exposing myself to you. He said, I'm naked and not ashamed.
Can I get it with this guy?
He said, he's telling his disciples, he said, if you read the text further on, I don't want to read all the text, on the way to verse 15, he tells them, Deacon Nick, Brother Nora, he tells them, he said, this is an example for you, how you treat people.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to get in the church, face not again. We are all leaders of the church. Are we not?
Yes.
Jesus in his ninth season, he knew what he was getting ready to go through. They were getting ready to whip him all night long.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Y'all think he didn't know what he was going to do? What? He came to die. Crucifixion. Y'all don't understand. The cross was Rome's way of saying you are a failure.
Yes.
I'm going to mess y'all up. Don't you think that Jesus' ministry was a failure, was a success? Uh-oh. What you talking about, Pastor? You're going to get me on Facebook. No, his ministry is not accepted. If you got a successful ministry, how you end up being crucified? You got killed. What people now is going to say is that you opened your mouth too much, you said too much, and they killed you. But, watch God.
Yeah.
God did an example. I tell you, everything that God does, he does it to show us that that's a pattern he has set for us in our life. It's no failure to be so great, but anyone's got to go through that God can't take the failure and turn that thing around.
Yes,
crucifixion was Rome's way of showing failure. But God said, the cross going to be short, going to be my symbol of what I can do. Because someone was something that was dead, buried, and I made a miraculous, that's the miraculous thing. In your ninth season. So, for all of us as leaders in the church, let me start with y'all. I don't care what you're going through. Get your walk right.
Yes.
You ain't got no excuse to have an attitude because you're going through something.
Yes.
Because guess what? Jesus going through something. Right. Do you think how he felt? Yes. But now, he didn't know. He said, Lord, I'm out of here. He didn't call some angels so they could take him away. Or he could have said, I'm out of here.
All right.
No. What he did now, he stands up before his crucifixion in the middle of his night teeth eating and disrobes himself.
Yes, yes, yes.
He said, I'm going to keep on keeping on. I'm going to continue to work. He said, I'm going to show you just how much. No greater love than no man had to lay his life down. What you say? He said, I'm telling you about the theology of the time. He said, when you go through your stuff, I called you to do something. You need to tighten up your britches and get to work. So what? Yeah, it's bad, but it's gonna get worse. Paul says, "You, none of us here has resisted unto blood."
Okay.
But we get so stuck on the little pity patty stuff. Well, this, that ain't going right. That ain't right. We got so much excuses. Are you serious? What if Jesus would have kept his robe on? He's sitting at a table, about to get taken out. He's trying to encourage himself. He's trying to speak to himself. But he got to look at Judas. He got to look at Peter. He won't never shut up. And he got to look at Dr. Thomas. Don't want to believe nothing. And he got to go to the cross. Jesus said, I've developed the sense, and I'm showing you how to look past the foolishness when you got a mission. Think about your purpose. Your purpose is bigger than your passion. Are you going to let your passion guide you? Are you going to let your purpose guide you?
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Some of y'all still ain't got it.
We got it, Pastor.
All of them ain't got it. I'm going to go somewhere. God, don't be trying to take a form. They look at me like, no, the devil's a lie. No. What you talking about, Pat? Jesus took off his robe. That was what showed them what he did before they got to know him. He came down through 42 generations. Keep in covenant with us. He said in the Garden of Eden, he said the seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent. He told Abraham, what? Look at the sand on the shore. Look at the the Moses, man, Mosaic covenant, gave them the Ten Commandments. Mm-hmm. Then he walked down. Come on now. Man. Jeremiah, do you realize that? And I'm not that smart, I know. But I'm just like Andrew McKinnon I sound right now. Do you know some things, Neil, that grammar cannot grasp the meaning of?
That's right.
Some things you can speak in proper if you want to, but guess what? Grammar cannot put it to words.
That's right.
The sacrifice that Jesus made so that we can have the strength and the power to walk.
Yeah.
Walk through the water that will not drown us. Go through the fire and the fire will not burn. Do you know what? I know I checked it out, Teresa, because Jeremiah couldn't put it into words. That's why Jeremiah says there's a wheel in the middle of the wheel. Oh, y'all ain't feeling me. He said you couldn't put it together. He said there's like fire. Shut up your mouth, bro. He couldn't.
Hallelujah.
It cannot grasp it. So Jesus said, that's why I'm tired. I've been preaching all these years. If you don't get this, you ain't going to get it. It's not for you to get. So he said, guess what? I'll give you some towel theology. I put it in to illustrate the irrefutable fact that guess what? The sacrifice I'm about to make, you can make the same sacrifice. He said, because greater things, I've done great things, but greater things you will do.
Yes.
Amen. I'm about done. Not yet. Hold up. Wait a minute.
Take it down, Pastor.
Jesus tells them,
yes.
I also do this as for example for you. Because everything I do is an example for you. He said, so when hell breaks loose in your life, hello, hell will come. If you got no hell in your life right now, just wait a little while. So, what you're saying, I want you to take out some hellified insurance.
All right.
What kind of insurance do you buy that from, Pastor? You buy that insurance from the blood of Jesus Christ. Because the Bible tells me many are the afflictions of the righteous. It's a clause in insurance. It's the small print. But God,
yes,
sir. Yeah. Didn't say my sense and my sensibilities and my intellect.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't say my homeboys, my ace cool boom. No. Mm-hmm. It said God,
yes,
delivers them from them all.
Oh.
It says you need this insurance, Deacon Lady, because guess what? The storms will come.
Yes.
But there's a clause in the storms that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Oh, y'all, it's part of my town theology. It lets me know that it will form itself, but don't stress, don't sweat it, don't trip out. Guess what? It will not prosper. That means all I've got to do is stand still and watch the salvation of the love. It's going to form it for me. Looking like it's going to block my way. God said, when you're going to wake up one morning, because we've been made and go for a night, but joy coming in the morning, you're going to wake up and that obstacle will have disintegrated. It's part of my theology. I said, God, they're not going to believe it. They're going to think I'm just shouting at them. He said, well, tell them this last thing.
Come on now.
He said, when I hung on the cross, what?
Like this thing.
Oh, help me, Jesus. Can I preach like God gave it to me? Jesus, he was hanging on the cross.
Yes.
He stayed there. Turn to blood. Tell the stars fell from the sky. Oh, y'all ain't feeling me. They say the graveyards in Jerusalem, the bodies got up. What a mighty God. They took Jesus off the cross. Watch me. They didn't lay him in that borrowed tomb naked.
Y'all ain't feeling me yet, no.
But they say they wrapped him in some grave clothes. Only dead bodies get wrapped in dead clothes. But
and you will feel who the Father came in. Don't worry about this stuff. Just do what God told you to do. Do the best you can do every day for God. Forget about stuff. I'm telling you, I don't care what you do, stuff don't happen. Stuff don't come, stuff don't happen. So tell y'all, say what, devil? Whatever, get what? Devil, whatever. I'm still going to keep on keeping on. I'm like Paul.
Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into